Welcome back to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan here with Jeremy.
How's everybody doing out there today?
That was part of, because it's a very long song, but Splayed Mudscape from the band Slime Lord from their latest album, Chytridiomycosis Relinquished. I hope I got that fucking title right, but it sounded right in my head, so I'm running with it.
They're out of Leeds in the UK.
So they recently released their debut album, or debut full-length album, on 20 Bucks Spin on March 8th over, you know, it was like a week ago now. So if you're local, pick up the record from Noise and Toys here, or if you are not local and don't have your own store, check out 20 Bucks Spin, pick it up there. But we're going to get into talking with Xander from Slime Lord. He's the guitar player for the band. And we get into the concept of the record and all that stuff. Because if you listen to the Brad Moore interview, we went over the concept briefly. But we saved the majority of it so these guys could tell us and unravel the whole thing, which to me was really fucking awesome. But Jeremy, unless you have anything else, we'll jump into that.
Let's get into the fucking combo.
And as always, check out Blast Beats Vinyl. You can find them at the link in our episode description. And you can also use our promo code NOISE, which is in all caps, for 10% off your first order. So definitely check them out. They always stock a ton of cool metal titles.
Yeah, they got a badass copy of a Rotting Christ album right now that if I didn't already have, I'd definitely order.
I seen that. And then I seen like the new Wayfarer variant that they had on there.
I saw that
like,
too.
They just got a bunch of like Pungent Stench stuff in. And
they definitely get
stuff,
the dope shit. So
every single week, I mean, you can find something really cool from that site. So hit up our episode description, follow them on Instagram. If you're a first-time purchaser, use our discount code, support them. Awesome guy, awesome site. Him and his wife do a great job at running that and are always bringing really cool things. You can also check out an interview that we did with them a little while back. I don't remember the episode number off the top of my head, but just scroll through and you'll find it. But all right, anyways, enjoy and thanks for listening. Xander, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to jump on the show. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You guys just recently, it would have been March 8th, released your, is this your first full length?
Yeah, 1 week ago, first full length out, yeah.
Cool. How do you say the name of the album title? Because I wasn't going to try to butcher it.
It's pretty simple when you hear it. It's just Chytridiomycosis Relinquished.
Okay, that is simple. But when you try, when you look at it without knowing like how to say it,
yeah,
that
was one of the things that like drew me to the word itself. Is just yeah. How it looked.
I'm gonna fuck with people.
What is it? What does the word mean? Is it like a type of bacteria or something?
It's a disease that affects amphibians, frogs and toads and stuff, and it's basically like a big pandemic around the world. It's been like this for a couple of decades, and it's just wiping out all sorts of amphibian life.
Right on. How did you guys come up with, because we just interviewed Brad a week ago and he was telling us the concept.
I checked out that, yeah.
Oh, cool. He was telling us the concept for the record about it being like a beast with like five stomachs or something like that. I don't really remember exactly what it was. If you want to go ahead and tell us what the whole concept of the record is.
Yeah, the bit that Brad mentioned is that's mainly just the like opening track, opening like couple of first three tracks really. Because I think when we were doing the artwork, I was like halfway through the lyrics, so Brad had like most of the like story outline, and maybe he didn't have any of the lyrics to go on, but like the outline of the story and each section of it was there, and like his art kind of also informed some of the lyrics in the long run. But the concept, I can do like a brief outline of it. It's essentially like each song is a bit like a video game level. There's like a bunch of things that happen like in each song, and I can go like way more in depth into any point of it if you want, so just let me know.
Yeah, no,
but
go
essentially,
yeah, dig deep, man, dig deep.
Yeah, essentially, the record opens and the chytridiomycosis disease has been like allowed to be unleashed upon the world because some nefarious force has consumed the moon, which every song has like a bunch of different like scientific, geological, biology, ancient myth and history kind of things melded into it. That like there's like multiple themes on top of like the base like fun adventure story. That's
you're kind of like making your own like folklore, sort of.
Yeah, definitely. It's it references a bunch of other stuff, but it's definitely like just our own like adventure story. So we have like this character. It's not necessarily like detailedly named or anything. It's just some guy who opens up and he has to journey to the center of the earth to meet this like toad god who lives at the center of the earth. And because he knows that the world is being decimated by this disease and slowly it's going to affect every corner of like the ecosystem as well as like plants, animal life, and like the environment. So it's his mission to go to the center of the earth, meet this giant toad, and trying to figure out how to solve the like this huge problem. So that's like the track one. Track two is he's beckoned the beast, and when it comes out, this giant toad deity is really sick with the chytridiomycosis. So the character eats some sort of strange plant life mushroom thing, and he goes like super small. He has like this shrinking ability from the thing he eats, which is kind of taken from a lot of like old school 60s movies like Fantastic Voyage and Seventh Voyage of Sinbad and stuff like that. And he like goes inside the insides of this giant toad and defeats a bunch of like bacterial enemies and within the five stomachs and intestines of this beast, and he manages to defeat it. That's gut brain axis. Part three is splayed mudscape. That's as he's like escaping the body of this toad through all of its digestive systems. And a lot of that song's likened to like part of the water cycle with it like going back up to the clouds and then through all like meandering rivers and all that like river terminology and stuff. That's kind of like the first half of the record, the little adventure of the guy. Mm-hmm. And then the middle track, Batrachomorpha Resurrection's Chamber, we leave the adventure for a little bit. And it's revealed that this toad that we cured was actually the nefarious villain all along who started the whole thing. And now he's cured. He can like get back to his evil plans of like raising an army and going to the surface. And he's like resurrecting these ancient fossils in this geothermal vent and bringing these ancient like not quite as old as dinosaurs, but these ancient amphibian species back to life through some dark geothermal magic. And then the Hissing Maw, our adventurer, returns through all these cave systems back to the surface. And when he gets there, he's discovered that the world is like even worse off than he left. And he can't quite figure out why, because he went to the center of the earth that cured this beast and it was all for nothing. And then Tidal Slaughtermarsh is the toad who's called Mutanta. He's brings forth his legions to the surface and decimates the world. And that's a lot about like coastal erosion and like environmental effects. So all these things are going on while the toad god Mutanta is like spewing forth his legions on top of like the chytridiomycosis disease and all the after effects of that. So it all goes like super downhill. And then the final song, Heroic Demise, is supposed to be, we had a track on our first EP called Amphibia, which in our like personal band lore is the another toad frog deity, but he's like the good guy. So Mutanta and Amphibia battle it out, and Mutanta wins, and it's all a big Amphibia dies heroically, and the world is left to its doom, basically.
Fuck, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah,
That's deep, dude.
there's a lot to that,
And I like
like.
how it's like a straight up, like, you're listening to a movie,
Basically, yeah.
but at the same time, it's like old school horror where it's like giving you all this, like, real knowledge to, like, look out for.
Yeah. I mean, I can't help myself once I come across like
So
these cool
awesome,
sounding
dude.
words. I just get these images and then fall down the rabbit hole. And with horror films, I'm definitely not a fan, but I get where a lot of that imagery could come from. But yeah, like I mentioned, it's mostly of like retro movies with like stop motion figures and that. You know, they're really
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
fantastical medieval stuff.
So that type of stuff was what like brought on the inspiration for it, like the whole bacterial premise and everything.
But, well, those kind of movies brought on a lot of the like the adventure
Gotcha.
like side of it, like some character going on an adventure, defeating beasts and doing strange, magical, fantastical things along the way.
Yeah. So how did you guys tie in the whole like the toad and like the whole bacteriological warfare type of stuff? Was there something that brought on that inspiration, or was that just
I think I just came across it just reading books or researching random
yeah.
like slime lord like the like kind of stuff on the internet. Came across it and fell in love with that word and just smashed together all these influences and yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think for you guys is 'cause I've listened to your older stuff and you know, it's good and all, but like this one like really knocked it out of the park, especially for your debut full length.
Oh yeah, we had to with it being the first album, you know. We
Yeah.
wouldn't have embarked upon the mission of doing a debut album unless it was going to be like full on.
So, how did you guys get tied into 20 Buck Spin? Did they approach you or did you pitch it to them?
We sent some demos of, I think it was probably like the full album a couple of years ago, and Dave at 20 Book really liked it, and here we are. So it was pretty simple. I'm
Right
very, very
on.
thankful for it.
Yeah, I've talked to him back and forth a handful of times, and he seems like a really cool guy. And he definitely looks for like unique bands that are kind of trying to do their own thing. 'Cause you guys definitely have a sound that stands out, and like the imagery and the folklore behind the band and everything is all like pretty unique to me. Like, I don't know of any other band that really made a whole album around that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I try and do when putting together like full albums. I definitely want to be as unique as possible. And 20 Book was the perfect choice for us. And thankfully, Dave was up for it as well. And yeah, we're among some really great bands. It's not just like this old school style of death metal. You know, he's got a bunch of black metal bands on there. And then I'm a really big fan of Atre Billis, who are like, if you boil it down, it's kind of like way more like not metalcore-y, but metalcore with the like really modern sound in death metal, more in the vein of like Revocation, but dissonant. But that's one band on there that's, even though it's not like just straight up cavernous old school death metal, they've really got their own sound and an image. And yeah, you realize that 20 Book's not just death metal, it's about just good bands, you know.
Yeah, we always say you can pretty much like just close your eyes, grab an album, and it's going to be good on
Yeah,
that
for sure.
label.
So you play guitar, and you said you did a little bit of vocals on this album as well. Did you do any vocals on the previous stuff, or was this the first time?
No, I didn't do any vocals. In fact, we did one cover song of a Carnage track for some compilation, and I did like some backing on like the chorus, but no, not really anything prior to the album. On each track, except Batra and Heroic Demise, I do like a little phrase just on each of the songs,
Okay.
just to just to mix it up.
I was gonna ask what you did for vocals on the record.
I love the like the production in it, the layering and all the different shit you can hear like going on. Who did you have produce it?
Yeah, Damien Herring did the mix and master, but we recorded it here in England, in Leeds,
Oh,
with
nice.
this guy, Adam Rogers, who's we've worked with a bunch of times for Slime Lord and one of my other bands. And he's super cool. He's based in the venue that we like practice at, so it's a really like local, it's like a good friendly local thing.
It
But we
seems like
sent it
he
off to Damien
captured it
Herring and
nice.
say that again.
He captured your sound. Like, that's a fucking trick to capture heavy music like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he said it was the most complicated
I bet.
thing he's recorded, because we did have like a lot of tracking and a bunch of layers as well. Damien said the same actually, which I was kind of surprised at. But yeah, Damien Herring did the mix and master, and he did an excellent job. And he was the guy I wanted. Just like Brad Moore was the guy we wanted. 20 Buck was the label I wanted. So it's all worked out real nice and as like a complete package. And Damien's mix is really great. The mix he did for Void Ceremony's debut was, I already knew his mixing before that, but that particular record with the sound of the drums was unreal. And then the way the bass, he got the bass to cut through was really unique, especially on a death metal record, bringing that like really warm toned bass, like this, like a fusion sound out in death metal. That was really cool.
Yeah,
So that's what,
I
yeah.
like the bass on this album was all done on a fretless, am I correct?
Yeah, John plays
Yeah,
fretless,
that
yeah.
is fucking gnarly.
Yeah, I like how like at the end of track three, Splayed Mudscape, how there's like that kind of like ringing out, like just crazy bass line
Yeah.
going out. And it's like layered, where there's like a higher frequency bass that kind of sits over top of like a lower one, but it ends the song. I didn't know it was a fretless though. That makes sense.
Yeah, at the end of Splayed, that's I believe we were recording, and because it's just like a straight constant riff with like three notes, it's like really straightforward, but it's just about the constant picking on the bass. And we did it a bunch of times, but then Adam, who was recording, I'm pretty sure this is what happened, he just suggested to John to use a pick just on that one riff. And I think because John had like restrung his bass recently using the pick, he got a lot of like the scrapiness of the pick sliding up and down, as well as just the constant notes. So especially when it goes up to that higher note on the bass, it creates that effect that like you may, like you said, you might think it's a separate like bass track or like some effect on the top, like some like tree bark rubbing against something. So it was a cool
It
effect, even
sounds
though
like a
it
whole
was just a
nother
purely just a
effect.
bass thing.
It almost sounded like it was like a jawbone or something, like the way it
Yeah,
like
like the
rings
grinding.
out. Like it was I don't know. I thought it was a really cool tone, and I always appreciate when metal bands, especially, like bring their bass to the forefront, because a lot of times it gets buried so many times in the mix. And I think having a fucking killer bass line in an album, especially a metal album, is important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John's a great bassist. I don't know a better bassist in England, to be honest. He's great. I mean, we're three of us are in another band, Cryptic Shift, which is like way more tech thrash, and like a fretless bassist makes like way more sense in that kind of thing. So when like we've been playing with John for since 2015, so he's like really cemented in like who we are as a group, and he's just natural playing. All our natural playing comes out on the Slime Lord stuff. And even though John does go wild, he sounds, you know, completely different to someone who just played the root note with like an overdrive pedal, you know.
Right, right.
He definitely plays to the song, and then the points where in the mix you do hear him come out, or he's playing naturally, does that. I do think it's really effective, yeah.
Yeah, and especially, like, I mean, your guitar work on here is a lot more prominent than the earlier stuff, too. Like, what did you do differently on this record that you didn't do on the earlier records?
Slime Lord's always been, like, a jam band. We improvise a lot of the songs. All the songs come from just, like, improvisational jams and that. And, like, the lead guitar stuff is always just like, just vibing it in the room and doing just kind of beating your guitar up, destroying it and doing horrible noises and that. So that's definitely what it was like on Delta Death Sirens and Moss Contamination. But then Insurmountable Peril, the EP, I definitely wanted a little more of a structured solo on that song, Death on the Bayou. So that was really cool to do that. And that EP is definitely like a transitional EP that gets you from the first two EPs to the album.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, that track Death on the Bayou was like, we were contemplating like this track's on the album, right? But we just left it for that EP to have like a transitional thing. So for the album, especially for the tracks Gut Brain, Axis, and like the outro to Tidal Slaughtermarsh, I had a way more composed like guitar solo that was like planned out, and rather than just jamming it out and making crazy noises and big squeals, which is awesome. And there's a bunch of that on the record anyway, but especially those two songs. There's like these two on Gut Brain and then one later on in Tidal, and they're like properly composed. The opening one, Gut Brain, was like, because it was just like two minor chords next to each other looping round. It was quite an easy riff to solo over, and just an effective one with it just being those two minor chords. You could do pretty simple scales, but then any outside notes also made sense because the rhythm wasn't like too wild.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like a nice paced groove.
Yeah, it's just a really chiller groove, isn't it? And after like the insanity of the opening Beckoning Bell, we wanted to just sit you in that groove of Gut Brain, yeah, Axis on the intro and have you just chill out for a moment.
What kind of rig are you using on that album?
Kind of what, sorry?
Oh, like a rig, like what's your like guitar?
Like amps.
Yeah, and maybe like what's your like go-to head and like cab maybe?
I've been using EVH 5150 for
Love
years,
them.
Like nearly 10 years now, and it's just perfect. That's just me.
Yeah.
And like for the rhythm tones, well, for all the tones, Damien did his own reamping, but he like based it on the sounds we got for recording, and we sent him over a bunch of our like settings and certain like EQ frequencies, and it sounds cool on record.
Fuck yeah, it does.
But yeah, I've always just used the EVH at home.
What guitar?
Never really.
What kind of guitar do you play usually?
I have an Ironbird, a BC Rich. It's got this yellow crackle finish, which is super cool.
Fucking
and for pickups, I've got a Seymour Duncan Jazz in the neck and a bare knuckle war pick in the other one.
And those are just passive or pickups?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. Because people always seem to use those active ones now, you know? And I think from a guitar point of view, passive pickups sound so much, like, more natural.
Yeah, I don't really get it. It's just a bit annoying having to replace that battery. And then, like, one day you'll be, why doesn't my guitar sound as good? And you're like, all right, I probably haven't changed the battery in a year or whatever.
Weird.
Yeah, I've got a Jackson Warrior, which I use a lot as well. I probably use that about half as much as the Ironbird, actually, on the recording. But that's got a really good tone for Like if you want a riff that's just got a really tight rhythm and it hasn't got like a lot of nuances, you just want to lay down the like
The
really
Jackson's
tight
where it's
that
at.
the Jackson's good. And that one's got EMG actives in.
Okay, makes sense.
For a lot of like the all the solos I've done on the Iron Bird and
That's
the
kind of what I, yeah, I
weirder.
guess that's what I was getting at. It was like, yeah, what were you using on the solos? So that's
Yeah,
cool.
but a lot of the weirder riffs I'll use Iron Bird as well, and the cleans, because the Seymour Duncan jazz is really good on the Iron Bird.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Like put a jazz pickup in a metal guitar.
And for the clean tones as well, Damien, the clean tone he got was insane. I thought I absolutely loved it because it was quite different to the one I get here. And he says it was like some old I'm called Rockefeller or something, or Rockmaster. I'll have to dig that out, but yeah, he said he was fired it through that, and the clean tone of the record when I first heard it, I was like, I want to try and create that here. So, because it's really thick, and you know, sometimes if you're playing a clean tone, it's even though it's like a super low tuning, we go to G sharp, and it still sounds like a bit thin, like it could be
Yeah, I know what you're saying
heavier,
though.
and whatever Damien did was awesome, especially like on the clean in Battery Cromorph Resurrection's Chamber. And it's just a single note on like fret one and two, and it just sounds massive, even though it's just one note.
I think that was like probably my favorite track on the album, actually, was track four, the Resurrection's Chamber track. I love the like squealing, like just drawn out long riff that was going through the whole thing.
Yeah, that track's like basically one riff.
Yeah, I like that stuff though. Like you said, you guys are like a jam band, and that's what it reminds me of, is like you guys found a riff that was working for you at the time and just kind of ran with it, and it kind of builds as you go along a little bit, but it's still the same core riff.
Always playing around that riff.
Yeah.
That's very jazzy.
Yeah, just the one riff and just jamming it. Like we'll naturally, after eight bars or whatever, we'll like Ryan the drummer will try something else, and it's like it all just comes out from the jam. All those arrangements, even though it's just one riff, we managed to have that like swelling intro, like the slow chord one, the clean one, the heavier chord one, and then the tremolo chord one, and then like alternate tremolo. So that's like a whole like 3 or 4 minutes on one, on like literally one riff on two frets, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. When I was younger, I always thought like riffs were like way harder, and then like you learn a couple and you're like, what? Like they're on MTV for this, or you know what I mean? Like it's just 'cause it's so simple. You know,
Yeah.
like 573 over and over again, whichever way you want to do it, and it's like that's it. A E C
Yeah,
D
and there's definitely an
G
art to doing simple
You
riffs
know,
nowadays, because
so weird.
all of the riffs that you can do that are simple have like been
Yeah.
used up. So you have to really think about doing a simple riff these days.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but when a band pulls it off well, like it works very well. But there are
Yeah,
times
yeah.
where I've heard it where I'm like, oh, that's that riff from this or that or whatever. But it would be hard because it's hard to do something musically that hasn't been done.
Yeah, man, I agree. And I think that's why Slime Lord, even though it's just death metal, we have a bunch of unique elements to pour into the Slime Lord like cauldron that gives it its special sound, I think, which is like
Yeah.
the effects pedals and the tuning and like the subject matter and
Oh, no
just
doubt. Your shit
the
stands out,
players.
man.
Yeah, especially with the artwork, the subject matter, even the sound. Like, I like how the sound very much matches the premise for the record. Like, it feels like a dirty sounding album, and it feels almost like even underwater or something at some points. Like, you get that like slimy, dirty bacteria style feel from listening to it. It's not just like Yeah, we named it that because it was cool. Like, you guys really embody that whole thing.
And now that we know the dude's traveling to the center of the earth, that like makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, the artwork was getting done as the lyrics were like halfway done. So when Brad was doing like the first few sketches and the like central piece was coming together, that big crazy star shaped thing in the middle. And I saw that and then subsequently did a bunch of research and looked for like things in the real like animal kingdom that kind of looked like that. And managed to like fit it in based off Bradmore stuff. So when I saw that central thing, I found this thing called a rhizome, which is like a plant stem, but it's like the subterranean part of it. So it's like this spidery, tentacly looking thing. And so that was it. It wasn't just a Lovecraftian tentacle monster. It had like an actual meaning behind it.
I think that makes it that much cooler
Yeah, dude,
to
I
me, at
appreciate that
least,
shit.
because, like, don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of horror movies and all that stuff, but, like, that's been used for music and especially death metal for, like, years and years. And there's so many records that have, like, hammer smashed face
Yeah, since the
style of
beginning of death
stuff.
metal time, it's been that way, you know?
Yeah. So to have you guys actually take the time to go research this like amphibian nature and plant-like stuff and just all these different biological things. It shows one, the intelligence level of you guys, but two, like the care that you put into the record to making it your own thing.
Yeah, if the record wasn't like this, then we wouldn't be doing it. We need these interesting topics and reasons to for doing it. If it was just a hammer smashed face cover and there was no reverb or effects pedals and it was all just about skeletons, then we wouldn't be here doing it,
Yeah, and it wouldn't be like it just wouldn't be as exciting. Like that doesn't mean it can't be good still. Like there's bands out there doing it and doing it well, but
Indeed, yeah, indeed.
it isn't as exciting because you kind of know what you're getting already. Whereas like with this record, it was like what's gonna come next? Like when you're listening to it, and like each time you're listening to it, it kind of peels back other sounds and you hear stuff that
Yeah,
wasn't there the first time.
it's all about the unexpected, because that's what we personally felt when we were writing this music, just jamming and improvising. We play a riff, and then so usually what happens is someone will bring in like a minute of a song or like a couple of riffs that are already like written and arranged, and we'll play that for a bit, and then we'll just keep going. We'll jam it and then keep going for like 5 6 minutes after that with the recorder, and from there on out for us it's all a surprise. It's
That's
all like
awesome.
really fresh and new, and we just stumble across these riffs, and that's like the excitement in writing Slime Lord stuff. So to then like take those recordings, refine them a little, add all these layers, but the like original feeling of writing these songs is still like very much present. So every song you get a bit of excitement every time you turn a corner.
Yeah, it definitely showed that. Like I've listened to it, I don't know, 5 or 6 times since it came out on Friday, and I have copies of the record on the way to my store. I was hoping they were going to be here in time for this interview, but they didn't make it on time. But they're on the way for the store for sure. But the whole package was great. Did you guys write, since like this is kind of like a it basically plays out like a movie, like beginning, middle to end. Did you guys write it from beginning, middle to end, or did it kind of you had one of the songs worked out and then kind of worked around that?
Mean like with the track list in order?
Yeah, like when you were writing, putting everything together, did it play out like you did track one first, then did track two, and then it kind of took form from there?
No, when we come up with songs, we might like give it a working title, which might like give it a certain vibe, and then later on we'll like work deeper on like the themes and the lyrics. But no, like we picked the songs that we thought were best for the album, and I think separately I was working on the story with about the chytridiomycosis stuff. And then once we had like the outline of the story and we sort of picked which songs were best, I then figured out which songs fit best, like structurally and dynamically, the way the story went. And then like I arranged it based on that and like the vinyl runtime stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's definitely like an old style like opera play, you know, like how it's written and then with the music and how you explained how you wrote it to where like up and then you have like the middle and then the shit gets taken over. It's very, that's what it reminds me of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the Battle of Camorra Resurrection's Chamber was going to be an instrumental for a long time, but we later decided just to have one instrumental at the end and have like, oh, like Battle of the Resurrection's Chamber, only a couple of vocals, like really reverbed out, and then the vocals only properly come in at the end. So like when you listen to the album, you have the three, track one, two, or three, like full songs, and then you have Resurrection's Chamber, which is like a half interlude, half song. And then you have like two more full songs with the Hissing Moor and Tidal Slaughtermarsh, and then like an actual outro kind of thing. So the way it's like structured is like tiered, it makes like a nice
Makes a nice arc.
graphic when you think about it like that.
Yeah. Do you have any, you guys have any plans of touring on this album or?
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to do a release show in London, which is sold out, which is awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude. Congratulations.
Yeah, and we've played the Killtown Death Fest last year, where we played a bunch of the new stuff. But other than that, we've not really played much of the new stuff. So it'd be really cool to like play the whole album at like a headline show. And then in the summer, we're doing a tour across Europe, which is like getting booked at the moment. So if you want Slimelord to play near you and in Europe, then get in touch with Killtown Bookings. And we're doing that tour with Cryptworm.
Okay.
I'll
It'll
probably
be
stay in America, to be honest with you, so.
cool if you guys can make your way over to the States for sure, like if
We'll
the album
definitely be
does
there.
well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's doing well so far. We're getting a bunch of cool offers for like England and Europe, so yeah, we definitely want to play America, and it's just all a case of like visas and travel. And as soon as we sort that out,
Red fucking
then yeah, we're
tape.
there, definitely.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it always seems like Europe gets they give the first response. Like you guys have the highest appreciation for music, from what I've noticed. It's always like you want a rare record of some like obscure death metal band, hardcore band, even hip hop. Like it's in Europe. Like the way that you guys consume music is, I don't know how it's different, but it is different.
Yeah, and likewise, America seems really cool as well.
I
You
see. Maybe
it's like really
it's
easy.
just because we're
Yeah, it's just
not
different.
there and you're not here, so it just
Yeah.
seems different.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a band in America, you literally can buy a van and tour the whole continent, you know. But in England, we've only got our little island, and then there's all the trouble of getting over to the mainland, and then you can do a tour like that, but everywhere is a completely different country, you know? So
Yeah,
it's
dude.
quite different.
Yeah, so there's rules and regulations for each country that are all different.
What a pain in
Yeah,
the
like
ass.
custom stuff getting in and out, and then
Yeah.
like different venues have different
Yeah. That would make it a
procedures and
lot
that, yeah.
more difficult. I never really put that into perspective, actually.
We never had to, I guess.
Yeah. Because it is right in America. I mean, like, if you can get a booking, like a solid line of booking done, like you got fucking eight shows across the Midwest or whatever, like you can just hop in and go. You don't have to get a work visa or clear a passport or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. And then as well, over here, if a band like from America tours over here, then going to Europe's like pretty easy because they're already there, but then they have to make the decision of like, do we travel over the ocean to go to England, you know, pay for the ferry, get in the vehicle on the ferry, and then
Oh
all the way
yeah.
back, maybe renting like a different vehicle in England. So the UK is like a big like decision for a lot of bands. Like maybe they only do like London, you know.
How far is Leeds from London?
It's about four hours, maybe 5 hours with traffic.
Yeah, that's about how
London's
far
like
we
right near
have
the
to drive
south, and
for
Leeds
shows.
is kind of bang in the middle, like halfway between London and Scotland.
Oh, right on.
Do you guys have like a pretty thriving music scene in Leeds still, or no?
London's always really good, just always has been. Leeds, I think, is one of the better places, especially in recent years. There's a good music scene. The venue I mentioned earlier where we practice and stuff is, it's called Boom, and it's like a really big, it's most notable for like hardcore, but we have metal shows on there as well. And there's because of Boom, the metal scene in Leeds has definitely thrived.
Shout out to Boom.
Yeah, that's cool. 'Cause like in the 80s, you guys had a ton of bands there, but I didn't know if that stayed consistent since then, or if it kind of fizzled out and came back, or how that worked.
Like maybe waves.
Yeah. I think it kind of comes and goes in waves everywhere, really. Like you'll have
Yeah.
your hot times and then like times where not a lot's going on, and then you get another band that kind of changes things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in Leeds, the hardcore shows are always really lively, but it's definitely a struggle to get people to come out to metal shows still.
Yeah.
But I think it's gradually improving. Yeah,
Do you know if
people are
that
generally
show's
pretty
booked?
afraid to like jump around at metal shows and have fun.
They're afraid to jump around and have fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Weird.
People just kind of want to stand there, and
Oh, look
maybe they want
tough.
to jump around and have fun, but
Yeah.
they're nervous or something.
Fuck that, I'm jumping around, man.
Yeah, the hardcore shows seem to. I have seen that actually, where like people are like, do we mosh or do we not mosh? Like at a metal show.
Yeah.
But at a hardcore show, like people are doing backflips and shit. Like they don't care. Like they're just, they go for it.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Slime Lord's got like a lot of headbang riffs, and it's got a lot of like
Fuck
super
yeah, it
heavy, like
does it.
almost slam riffs. So, you know, there's definitely a opportunity for that.
Do you know if that your release show is gonna be filmed by chance? Like, I mean, everything kind of is now, but I just wondered if there was like a specific place we could like check that out or whatever.
I have thought about it. I do know a couple of people in London who sometimes record shows, so if we can make it happen, we will, yeah. But otherwise, you'll have to have been there.
Damn it. Damn it.
It's an 18-hour flight, so
I've
I
never
just
even
looked it
been on a
up.
plane, just so you know.
Yeah, so I wouldn't recommend doing 18 hours for
Damn.
your first time. That's a long flight. So what are some of the bands that like got you into metal music? Like how long have you been playing guitar for?
Probably 15 years,
Okay. All
maybe a little more. I'm 29.
right. And what like brought you to pick that up and want to start that?
Probably a big thing was probably Guitar Hero 3. I always say that definitely helped, like get your dexterity and your fingers with the like the big stretches and that. But like playing Rage Against the Machine,
Was that
and
the one
Slayer.
that had Dragon Force on it, or was that two?
That was the one. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I used to be able to play that on expert like when I was a kid, but if I
Wow.
tried it now, I would never be able to do it.
Well, I couldn't do Raining Blood on expert. That was like as far as I could get. I could never get past that one.
I couldn't even play Mother on fucking Guitar Hero, but I could play it on guitar, so I was like, fuck this game.
Yeah, more bands, I guess, would be like a lot of thrash metal stuff. Megadeth, especially. They were just the coolest thrash band, the coolest riffs, the coolest solos. And then I was also into a lot of like shoegaze and alternative rock that my dad introduced me to. And those bands are like super loud, like louder than death metal, probably, with all the effects pedals and all the feedback and like the attitude. So I always had in my head that, you know, loud rock bands and guitars were super cool. And yeah, discovering heavier stuff like Rage Against the Machine introduced me to riffs. And like Megadeth introduced me to like the speed and the solos.
Yeah, Marty Friedman was a fucking awesome guitar player. Still is.
Yeah, definitely. I was really into Endgame from 2009 with Chris Broderick on. That was a killer record.
Yeah. I liked Dystopia a lot too. I think was a really good record late in their career.
Yeah, that had some bangers on, definitely.
Yeah, I think that was the one that had what's his face from Lamb of God in there.
I like the concept of that one too as well.
I like the concept of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like some Mad Max kind of world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish they'd have like played into that a bit more and unveiled a little more. Didn't they have some music videos that were like graphic novels or something?
Yeah, and then the next record kind of like completely changed, like at least for the premise of it. Like not sound as quite as much, but they didn't elaborate past that. So if you guys do a second record, do you plan to keep this sort of bacterial type of warfare thing going on, or do you think you guys will change it up?
Yeah, I've definitely got the idea for like a second part of the story, which would be the like the aftermath of the wars, and what happens to Mutanta, the villain, once he's like achieved his total destruction and how he feels about it, and then like what happens to all of his legions that he's summoned now that the war's won and he doesn't need them anymore and they've been brought back to life like millions of years ago. What's that?
He'll be in power during this.
Will he be in power?
And like,
well, once he's won, he's destroyed everything, so he'd have complete power over not much.
Crazy.
Yeah, I've definitely got a few ideas for where the story could go.
Yeah,
he'd be the king of shit mountain, basically.
Literally,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, still king nonetheless. Like, I mean, you gotta give it to the guy for that at least. But yeah, that's cool that you already kind of have it hashed out for another record.
Yeah, and we've got the songs as well.
Right on.
Probably over half the music, really. Because like most of our songs come from the original rehearsal tapes from like 4 or 5 years ago. And then we just pick out which ones we're going to work on. And I think there's 2 or 3 from back then and a couple more from just a couple of years ago. So, and there was one song as well that we cut from the album, like kind of late on, that was going to be on the album, but we cut. So that one's like 100% ready to go.
Wow, that's cool.
So yeah. I don't know when we're going to properly start working on it. We've all got some other projects to work on for a bit, but
yeah,
probably.
No, I'd ride this one out for a while it just came out. But I was just curious if you planned on keeping the same sort of concept.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely got enough ideas to make it go another record, yeah.
Cool. Did you guys have, you said, I believe earlier, you said Brad was the guy you had in mind to do the album from the get-go. Did you have anybody else in mind, or was it just you knew Brad was the guy?
No, I think Brad was the guy, definitely. Always.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that you could have picked anybody better for it. Like, he completely nailed it 110%.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the colors as well, we didn't want like playing colors, we wanted some really vibrant and exciting, and he's definitely the guy for that.
Yeah,
I mean,
pops.
As soon as I referenced a bunch of artworks for him, but like the ones he'd done himself, I really like Manner of Infinite Forms, because that was like a big insectoid cavern, but it was orange, and that was like super striking with it being orange. And then the Foreverglade one was super cool, the like grim gray brownness, and like those two extremes, like.
Yeah, I didn't know Foreverglade was underwater until we talked to him about it.
Yeah, same. It's really cool that, and you can see a couple of bubbles around, which is super cool.
Yeah, now that it's like,
Yeah, now
yeah,
that like he
pointed it
pointed it
out,
out,
can't
you can
not
see
see
it,
him.
but there's just so much going on that you look at it and you're like trying to interpret everything, that the bubbles just get tossed to the side. Like I didn't even take that into consideration that it would be underwater, but he definitely creates some really cool creatures, like that tomb mold cover you were referencing, that like I don't know what the hell he even is, like a mushroom looking like growth thing. Like he's got like little like pedestals growing on him and stuff.
Favorite thing from that record cover is the thing right in the center, that insect thing.
Yeah.
If you look down at his feet, you can see his footprints, and his footprints create this like crazy language that's like etched into the sand where he walks. That I thought that was a really cool concept for that character.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that is really cool.
Shit, that's what makes it so great, dude.
I mean, yeah, that's what I really like about his artwork. And that's why I think it did your album such justice, because you have so much going on in the concept. And like, if it was just like the little rhizome looking thing in the center and like nothing else surrounding it, I think it would have been like a very bland and boring album cover. But he created this entire like atmosphere, along with you guys created this entire atmosphere and the music itself. So they both, I mean, it was like peanut butter and jelly. Like you
Yeah, for
couldn't have had a
sure.
better combination.
Fish and chips.
Yeah, fish and chips, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's
Yeah, Brit thing, peanut
so
butter.
many weird things in the album. Like, 'cause it spreads over two panels as well, and everywhere you look, there's a new little creature, a little imp, a little whatever insect thing just going about its business in every corner of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was all about Slime Lord is death metal, but weird, injected with weirdness, and Brad Moore's definitely weird.
Yeah, no, but that's what makes him so cool, though, is his weirdness. Like, without that weird creative mind, like, you wouldn't have that crazy landscape that you have. Because, like, to
Yeah, indeed,
me,
and
like, I don't know how the, f like, I consider myself creative in certain aspects, but when I look at something like that, I'm like, my imagination couldn't have even started to put all that together. Like, it's really impressive.
of course, he's got like 30 years of experience
Oh,
painting
yeah, for
weird
sure.
stuff,
It didn't
so,
just
and
happen
he's still coming
overnight,
out with
but
really fresh ideas now.
yeah. Yeah, I think he's like probably one of my favorite metal cover artists, especially currently. Like, he's doing some incredible work. I don't really have, like, you pretty much nailed the whole concept of the record down. Like, that was what I really wanted to get into with this, and I'm glad that you gave the elaborated version, because I didn't know that it was like a character based type of thing, which I like that. It's really cool.
Yeah, it makes me want to, and like now I'm anticipating this like next story, even if it's like 2 years, year, whatever, man. It's like I'm waiting for it now.
Yeah, and when you get the record, when the record arrives, we've got all the lyrics,
Okay, I was
and
about to ask that, because
there's
you can
also a
only get a
second bit,
portion of
which
them
is.
online. Like, if you go to Apple Music, there's only like three songs that have the lyrics tied into them.
Yeah, getting lyrics on streaming platforms is a complete nightmare. So,
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
I just want to forget it. You know, if you want to read them, then look up the get the record and look up the lyrics. And
Yeah, well, that's what
there's
I'm
also
looking
like a
forward to.
second story element in the record as well. Each section of the story's got like a small paragraph that gives you little bits of like really intriguing information with
Nice.
like really cool sounding words, and like leaves it on a cliffhanger, and makes you really wonder and like creates like that imagination, like what the hell's happening in this song, and each song's got like a little story paragraph.
I'm definitely looking forward to that, because now that I know the concept in full, I want to go back and read all the lyrics along, like while listening to it.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Before we wrap things up, I have one more thing, and then, well, first, do you have anything you want to add? Get a social media tags, all that stuff will be in our episode description. So, like, anybody listening, go follow Slime Lord. Follow 20 Bucks Spin, buy the record. You can buy it here at the record store if you're local, or buy it online at 20 Bucks Spin or at your own local record store. But
that's it. Thanks everyone who's bought and checked it out. Yeah, listen to it with the lyrics and a dictionary, and find some new cool sounding words, and you know, go on a rabbit hole on the internet down these weird biological topics that we're on about.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that, because I'm gonna a dictionary is a good something is a useful tip, because some of the words you're like, oh, what's this? I had to Google a couple things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but I like that. Like, I like the stuff that makes you think, and that make you know, you kind of, you take something out of it. You're like, oh, at the very least I learned a new word.
Yeah, definitely. One book I read a lot is the Dune book, and like even now when I read it, there's so many words that I pull up the dictionary, and it's those weird words that I don't know that like keep me intrigued and keep me wanting to find out more, you know.
Did you watch Dune 2 yet?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I did
twice, too. And I'm off to see it next week. It's powerful.
It's fucking awesome, isn't it? I went and seen it last week, and I'm trying to go see it again here soon before it leaves our theater. But yeah, I loved it. It was everything I expected and more.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's a massive movie.
Jeremy, you still got to go see it.
Yeah.
I won't spoil anything you, then. We won't get into that. But before we wrap things up, we do have one question that we always ask people that we interview. And I believe we asked Brad this, so you probably already heard it, but you're often associated with metal. What is something that you listen to that people would not expect you to listen to?
Let me think. I mean, I mentioned I listen to a lot of alternative rock and shoegaze, so do you want to recommend like an album or something like that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you should check out this band called The Sleepwalk, and they're kind of shoegaze, but they incorporate all these like wild, almost electronic-y, like super fast electronic-y things, and they blend it into this like alternative rock fuzz in like the wildest way. But they've got this album called Upon a Brown. And I've recently just discovered it myself, but it's a complete trip to listen to. It's not just like major seven chords and some girl humming. It's still really extreme. So yeah, The Sleepwalk, Bonner Brown.
Okay, cool. I will definitely check that out.
I am. I'm working on that at the moment.
I like to have stuff to dig into after we get done talking to somebody. But all right, man, unless you have anything else to add, we're pretty much good here. We'll let you go. Enjoy the rest of your Friday evening. And
yeah, I'm all good. Thanks for having me on. It was cool. It's nice to talk about like songs and the lyric stuff like a bit more in depth, rather than like super just broadly, you know.
Yeah.
Talking about like specific riffs or specific lines is always really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And the album deserves that, because there's a lot to it. So, like, there's more to get out than just a brief, like, summary of everything.
Yeah, because when you put out an album, it's all about, like, the longevity of it, you know?
Yeah, it definitely demands repeat listening, which I like, because there's oftentimes there'll be, like, I listened to it, it was all right, you don't revisit it. Like, this record, you listen to it and you finish it and you're like, I'm restarting it, like I want to hear it again.
I know a lot of people have been and like on the YouTube and the internet and like other things I like watch or follow, talk to, have been anticipating your album, and it's like people are very pleased with it. So you should be like proud of that shit, man, because it's fucking solid.
That's nice, man. Thanks. Yeah, there's definitely a lot to discover in every song. There's a lot of layers to like all the instrumentation and words, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck to you guys with your release show. Congratulations on that. Congratulations on the record.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks again. We appreciate it, and you enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks, you too. See you later. Cheers.
Peace.